Calling the conversion after Brother Logan Gillespie will be number 37317.
When you get asked to preach, you know, and I hadn't been here in 2 years. I preached several sermons since then, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to preach on, but I know that Friday, wasn't it, Valentine's Day, and a lot of Valentine's cards. And I found this sermon, Four Kinds of Lovers. And you won't find what I'm talking about today or deny it on a Valentine card. But I do want us to look at this. Before I get into the lesson, I'd like to say that I appreciate so much the cards that I received while I was in the nursing home. Of course, a lot of you know that back last year, on two occasions, I got real low, and one of the occasions, I come real close to passing this life. My gallbladder exploded, and they said in Columbus, Mississippi, the doctor said that it was the worst case that they'd seen in 20 years in the little city of Columbus. But thanks be to Almighty God and the prayers of the brethren, I pulled through for a long period of time. I could not walk, and I finally got on a walker, and I went from, well, I was in a wheelchair, and then to a walker, and then a cane. And God's blessed me. I'm walking fairly good now. I preached sitting down for a couple of months. I'm from a large family, and my daddy had a brother that was born totally crippled. He had really no legs, little old bitty short legs. He never walked a day in his life. But he was an amazing individual in that he went back in those days, this is in the 1930s and 40s, his granddaddy made him a goat wagon, and he went to school in a goat wagon. He went as far as the sixth grade, and that's about as high as any of them went back those days. But he did get married, had three children. I preached his funeral and also his wife's funeral several years ago. But I laid up there in that bed in the nursing home, and all I could think about that he would give anything to have two good legs like I had. And I told one of the nurses, I said, I'm getting out of here. She said, don't think so. I said, tomorrow I'll be in that bathroom. She said, you better not. And she came in next morning, I was in that bathroom. And I was determined to get better. And God bless me. But I do want to thank the church here for your prayers, for your cards. It meant very, very much to me. And I want to thank Brother Barry for what he means to this congregation. Every time I hear Brother Barry preach, I'm impressed. Every time I seem to learn something, I wish I could stay down here and study with him more. But y'all are very lucky to have him preaching with you. Now let's get into the lesson. I don't remember near as well as I once did. So I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have PowerPoint now to sort of keep me on track. Four kinds of lovers. Now, let me say that if you took the Bible and started just looking at the Bible and other texts, you'd find that Jesus said, love not the world. You'd also find that man loved darkness rather than light because its deeds are evil. But tonight, what I'm going to be talking about is in the context that was read. Now, I use the King James Version most of the time. And when I put a screen up here, it'll either say the King James Version, the American Standard. This here text is from the English Standard Version, and I'm going to read it again. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. The King James says, perilous times. For people will be proud, arrogant, abusive, lovers of self. The King James Version says, covetousness. And several of the translations says, covetousness. And several say, lovers of money. Lovers of self, lovers of money, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now in those four verses, you got four kinds of lovers. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of God. And really and truly, that pretty well covers all of it. If you really look at the other kinds that might be in other verses, you could fit it in under one of these. And so we're going to look at these one at a time, just in the order they appear. Lovers of self. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through verse 26, and you notice I put out there KJV. Now most of you should know that that's the King James translation. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is my man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The reason that a lot of people will not deny themselves is because they love themselves too much. They're not willing to give up anything in order to serve Almighty God. Lovers of self. The world is full of them. But I want to tell you what. There's a lot of them in the church too. And I hate to say it, but I truly believe that there's a lot of people that go to church every week that love themselves too much to really give God the kind of service that God expects of every Christian. Luke 9 and verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Serving God is a daily religion. We need to be willing to give up self, deny self, each and every day that we live in order to serve God. Galatians 6 and verse 3. If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Too many people are in love with themselves. They're lovers of self. In the Old Testament, I couldn't help but think about Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And when Moses tells Pharaoh to let my people go, you remember Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should hearken unto him? He loved himself. He loved his power. Ahab. He loved himself so much that he was willing to let people bear false testimony against Naboth so that he could get his vineyard. He wanted it. He didn't care about nobody but Ahab. The Bible is full of people like Pharaoh, like Naboth, full of people that think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We deceive ourselves thinking that we can fool God, that we're really loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our soul, when we're not willing to give up anything in order to serve Almighty God. Matthew 23 and verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The man that loves himself will always exalt himself. That's true. I couldn't help but think of this evening as I looked over this lesson. A King Agrippa, I believe it's in Acts chapter 12, somewhere along verses 21 or 22, where the people began to praise King Agrippa and said, "This is the voice of God that's speaking." And you remember what he said? He gave not God the glory. An angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten by worms. He was the kind of man that exalted himself. He loved himself. He was a lover of self. A lot of people are lovers of self. The rich fool loved himself. Now this particular man, when I was working this sermon up, I thought about putting him as being one that was a lover of money. And he's guilty of that too. But look at Luke chapter 12. And actually, you might want to read the 15th verse before Jesus speaks this. He said that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he relates this parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself. Say he's selfish. It's all about himself. Saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He didn't think about anybody else. He was a lover of self. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man forgot about what Paul said in Acts the 17th chapter. It's in God that we live and move and have our very being. He hadn't thought about time. He hadn't thought about anybody. He hadn't thought about God. He hadn't thought about helping anybody. He was a lover of self. But notice in verse 20, God said unto him, now God called him a fool. God says, thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Lovers of self. Now the second kind of lover in the text, thou were lovers of self, verse 2. You go back and read 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Men would be lovers of self, covetousness, and some say lovers of money. And that is so true. A lot of people will do anything for money. That's all they think about is money and riches and what money can buy. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. The King James Version used covetousness here, but the English Standard Version used love of money. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes when I'm reading from the English Standard, I'm quoting and I'm not reading and looking at what I'm reading, I'm quoting from the King James. So if I do that tonight, I've been preaching so many years, I've used the King James Version so many years, it's still hard for me to get away from it. But notice he said, keep your life free from the love of money. Can you think of anybody in the Old Testament that was guilty? I was sitting there this evening and I thought of Achan. Think of what they were told to do. All the gold and the silver and the treasure was to be brought back and put in the storehouse of God. Achan stole, I took of the silver and gold and a Babylonian garment and hid it in under the ground in his tent. You know what happened to Achan? Carried him out of the edge of the city and stoned him and his family to death. You see, he loved money. He loved what money could buy. Think of Judas, one of the 12 apostles. That for 30 pieces of silver betrayed our Lord. You know, people will still betray the Lord today. And I believe they're members of the church in one sense of the word. That's betraying the Lord for just a little money. Like Judas did. Paul writes to Timothy, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown man in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. That's the second kind of lover, a lover of self and a lover of money. James 5, 1 through 3, come now, you rich, weep and howl for miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded. And their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Ye have laid up treasures. You should have laid up treasures in the last day. Jesus said to lay your treasures up in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 20. Lay your treasures up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves should not break through and steal. Lovers of money. And this is the verse that I talked to you about earlier when we was dealing with the parable of the rich man. And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. And he's saying, really, beware of the love of money. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And now we come to the third lover, the lover of pleasure. And we have people in the world that are lovers of pleasure. That's all they think about, is doing those things that feel good. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. My time is getting away from me tonight. I thought I took some of this out, and I did this evening. But notice 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned. And why should they believe a lie and be damned? They that might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Romans 1 and verse 32. There's a list of ungodly people whom the Bible says that the wrath of God was coming on in the day of judgment. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's pleasure. The lovers of pleasure. That's all they think about, is having a really good time. The parable of the sower. And I'm going to move along, not read all of this, because I need to move along. They that fell among the thorns, in verse 14, are they which when they'd heard go forth and a choke with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. A lot of people, because of pleasure, they will stay home on Sunday night and watch television. They enjoy their other pleasures. They're not willing to give any of that up. They live for pleasure. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures. Man's always been serving pleasures. They lovers of pleasure. Living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Hebrews 11 and verse 25, this is said of Moses. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin. there's pleasure in worldliness. There's people in the church that are lovers of pleasure. And last of all, I hope this fits you. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, are lovers of God. I hope we're lovers of God. You know, and I really believe those that come on Sunday night and Wednesday night are true lovers of God. We are to be lovers of God. We're to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We should love our neighbor as ourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we really love God, we'll keep His commandments. So many people say, I love God, but they could care less about being obedient. That's a false claim. You can't really say you love God and just pay no attention to any of His commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments. They might have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. Those that do His commandments show they love God by doing His commandments. And they'll be blessed. When they stand before God on the judgment day, He'll say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you. Those that have not kept His commandments, those that love the world, those that love sin, those that love themselves, those that love money, those that love pleasure, He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. We need to be lovers of God. We need to be keeping His commandments. Matthew 7 and verse 21, verse that we've heard preached so many times, but it's still so true. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have to do more than just say, Lord, Lord. Notice what he said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. A similar verse, Luke 6:46. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Got to do His commandments. Got to be obedient. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting, He's given unto us consolation, everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace. God loved us. We need to reciprocate that love by obeying Him. Hebrews 5:89. I'm going to be able to get through with it. I speeded up, and you know I did. Hebrews 5:89. I like to quit on time. I've always been that way. Though He was Son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, talking about Jesus Christ, he learned obedience. Now, look at verse 9. And being made perfect, complete, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is necessary. All you have to do is read James chapter 1. Hearing and doing the will of the Father. Got to do more than just hear. You got to do the will of the Father. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer. And a lot of people are forgetful. They forget what they hear. But he that is a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Be a doer of the word of God. Obey his will. If you haven't done that tonight, I'd say be a lover of God and obey God's inspired word tonight. The Bible teaches us to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Teaches us to believe. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, you can't please God. You got to believe. Got to do more than believe. You got to repent. Luke 13:3 said, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Got to repent. Without repentance, you're going to perish. A fellow can come to the country store. I go down to the country store. One morning came in there, and the preacher must have preached on some stuff. I take it that he did. And he had two scriptures he had wrote down. And he looked over at me and gave them to me. He said, well, it's all a person has to do to be saved is in Romans 10:9-10. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, if you believe with all your heart and you confess that, you'll be saved. He said, you believe that? I said, yeah, I believe that, but I believe that's not all you have to do. He said, what else do you have to do? He said, the preacher said, this is all we have to do. I said, where did the Bible say in that to repent? Luke 13:3, nay, except ye repent, ye shall always perish. And he looked at me and he didn't say another word. He knew the minute he got repentance in, I was going to get baptism. You see, people do not love the truth like they claim to love the truth. You got to confess, you got to believe, but you also have to repent and you also have to be baptized. Why dost thou arise and be baptized? Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And you also have to be faithful. Be faithful. You'll never go wrong by serving God faithfully. It is required in a church that a man be found faithful. So many people in the church are not faithful to the Lord. I close the lesson. Lovers of self. Some was lovers of self. Some was lovers of money. Some are lovers of pleasure. I hope tonight you're a lover of God. Obey the truth. If you really love God, won't you come? While together we stand and sing.
Oh.